You know, teachers understand this. Parents understand this. They understand how powerful it is to teach with object lessons. If you can use an object to teach a lesson, it's something that sticks with those people who are there listening to that lesson. Perhaps you're a parent. Perhaps you're a parent and you've tried to teach your children that once you say something, you can't bring it back. Once you say something to somebody, it's out there. You can't bring it back. And maybe you've taken that tube of toothpaste, and you've got that tube of toothpaste, and you just squeeze the toothpaste out, and then you've said to your kid, "All right, put the toothpaste back in the tube." You can't put the toothpaste back. I mean, you can try, right? But it's going to be a mess, and you're never getting it back in there. What is that? It's an object lesson. It's an object lesson for not just the young, but for all of us that says, once you get the toothpaste out, it's not going back in. Once you let those words fly, they're not coming back. Object lessons have a way of sticking with you. You know, you might be in a classroom teaching children, and you might set up a row of dominoes. And then you just point your finger and you hold your finger on that first domino. And what happens? What happens if you hit that? What happens if you just do one thing, just one small thing by tapping that first domino? What's going to happen? Oh, all of the other dominoes fall. And what does that indicate? What is that an object lesson of chain reaction of events? That if I just do one thing, I don't know the impact that that one event might have on others on down the line, like a chain of dominoes. What do we understand? We understand that object lessons are powerful. They're powerful because they're visual. You see something and it's visual, and they're visual, and so that makes them memorable. You've heard those stories about dominoes and toothpaste before because it's memorable. It's a visual thing that is memorable, and it's something that's powerful in our lives, something that we can take and it's shareable that we can tell others. You know who knew the power of object lessons? The greatest teacher who ever lived. The master teacher himself, when he walked on this earth, Jesus understood the power of object lessons. And something that his disciples needed to learn, he had been telling them in words. More than once he had been telling them in words, but the words weren't sinking in. And so in Matthew chapter 18, he hears them again, the disciples again, talking about, disputing, the Bible says, arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Have you ever had one of those parent moments, one of those teacher moments where you take a deep breath, you're like, oh, here we go again. I mean, that's Jesus in Matthew 18. Here we go again. We've been through this road before. I've said these words before. Why are they not sinking in? And so in Matthew 18, Jesus says, I'm going to do something different. I'm not just going to use words here. Jesus uses an object lesson to try to take something that's visual, memorable, powerful, shareable, to take something that they would understand in order to teach them a lesson they needed to hear. And so the Bible says in Matthew chapter 18 that in order to teach these disciples a lesson, that he went out among the crowd and he took a child and he sat a child in the midst of them. What would you be thinking if Jesus had done that? Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 19, there were parents who were trying to bring their children to Jesus. Do you remember what the disciples did? Get these children away. We don't want these, don't let these children bother Jesus. But what had the disciples forgotten? They forgot Matthew 18. Because Jesus is going to teach them a lesson. He's going to teach them a lesson on their dispute about greatness and who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. He's going to teach them a lesson. How's he going to do it? With an object lesson. By bringing someone out of the crowd that the disciples didn't want to bother them. How old was that child? We don't know. The Bible indicates, the Greek indicates, could have been as young as an infant. We don't know. You don't imagine Jesus taking a crying baby out of his mom's arms. I mean, I don't know. How old young was this child? But Jesus brings that child into the midst and sits the child in the midst of the crowd. And he says, I want to teach you. I want to teach you what God wants from you. And so this morning, I want us to see two things that Jesus, I hope you'll go to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to be especially in verses 3, 4, and 5, and 6. I want us to see two things that Jesus tells us are absolutely essential if we want to go to heaven. And he uses a child to teach it. Do you want to go to heaven? Let me ask it this way. You know the other place that's not heaven, right? You know the opposite of heaven. So let me ask you, now that you've thought about that other place, do you want to go to heaven? Oh, okay, yeah. I want to go to heaven. And Jesus says, let me tell you two things you've got to do in order to go to heaven. And they all are surrounded, all centered around this idea of a child. In Matthew chapter 18, this is one of those teaching moments of Jesus. And as we've noted, as we've come through many of these teaching moments in the life of Jesus, we've noted that the teachers in Bible times, they usually didn't stand behind a pulpit. Teachers in Bible times usually were sitting down. And so I want to sit down with you this morning, and I want us to imagine that we're sitting there listening to Jesus. And I don't know if the child is in Jesus' arms. I don't know if he picked up a plastic chair and sat the child on. I don't know how that worked. But Jesus sat a child in their midst. And then Jesus sat down. He says, I want to teach you what you need to do to go to heaven. Two things that involve children. Number one that we need to think about is what we need from children in order to go to heaven. Did you know you need something from kids? You can't go to heaven without something from children. Say what? I mean, Victor talked about this morning, you know, this is the giving season. And so this last week, there have been a lot of things that we have been giving to each other, no doubt. Did you know that you need something from children in order to go to heaven? Look in verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 and 4, Jesus is going to say, you've got to change who you are on the inside. In order to change who you are on the outside. Look at what he says. Unless one be converted and become as little children, what can he not do? He can't enter the kingdom of heaven. What do you have to? You've got to become like a little child. What does that mean? What does it mean to be? Does that mean you've got to shrink and become smaller? That'd be hard to do. What does that mean? What does it mean that when Jesus says that unless you are converted and become as little children, verse 3, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. What does he mean by that? I want to share with you about four things real quick. Childlike traits. Children have got them. We get older and we grow out of them because we get older and mature and we know better, right? No. Jesus says there's some things about children you need to go back and have. Number one, in order to go to heaven, you've got to have childlike humility. Instead of the self-exaltation that we often practice, childlike humility. What does he say in verse 4? Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, little children rarely are striving for prominence. They're just generally happy with whoever they are. And Jesus, you know what he expects of us? That same thing. 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 5, Jesus, the Bible says that we've got to be clothed with humility. You got dressed this morning, I can tell. You got dressed this morning. Do we clothe ourselves with humility? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the who? The humble. I've got to become humble. Verse 4, like a little child, in order to go to heaven. As an adult, I have to unlearn some things. And I have to unlearn this desire to elevate self. I become an adult and I want to elevate self. And Jesus says, unlearn that. And go back and learn what it is to be humble. Surrender yourself like a little child. Number two trait. Not just childlike humility. What do I need from children? Childlike trust. Instead of self-reliance, oh, I've got this, to go back and to learn to have childlike trust. Children depend on others for everything. I mean, why doesn't a two-year-old have a job? I mean, get a job. Earn your own money. I mean, why are you mooching off your parents all the time? You're 2 years old, for crying out loud. because children depend on others for everything. But we get older, right? And we learn to be independent. We learn, I've got control of my life, and I've got it all under my control. And Jesus says, you need to learn something. You need to learn something from a child. And instead of trusting in yourself, Jesus wants us to depend upon Him, to depend upon our Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, you read those last several verses, and Jesus reminds us everything that God has done for us. We didn't do it for ourselves. He takes care of us. Everything that we have, He's given to us. I need to depend on Him. John 15 and verse 5, Jesus says, without me you can do. How much can I do without Jesus? Make your list. Go ahead and make your list. Here's everything I can do without Jesus. Jesus says in John 15 verse 5, without me you can do nothing. Go ahead and try. Not going to happen. Why? Because I've got to learn as a child to trust God. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, Proverbs chapter 3 says. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. That's where my trust needs to be. As adults, we've got to unlearn some things. I've got to unlearn that thing that says, well, I can take care of this myself. I've got this under control. You don't have it under control. You think you do? We need to put our trust in God. Childlike trait number 3. Jesus says you've got to become as little children. What does that mean? I've got to have a childlike teachability. Instead of that teenage know-it-all pride. You know, we don't ever grow out of that teenage stage, do we? That we know it all. We need to be like children. What is a trait of a child? They're teachable. I mean, you look at children. Here are individuals. They are instructable. They are sponges. They're soaking everything in. They're correctable. If you show them something that needs to change and do, they're correct and they'll come back around. They are individuals who are taking in information. And Jesus says that needs to be us. We need to be teachable. Matthew chapter 13, some of His parables were not sinking into some people because their hearts were not softened. Jesus says, you got to soften your hearts. Hebrews chapter 5, there were some people who had figuratively had stuck their fingers in their ears. The end of Hebrews chapter 5 says, you're dull of hearing. Why? Because they had stuck their fingers in their ears to the word. Well, I don't want to hear what God says. Jesus, you got to open your ears. You got to soften your hearts. You got to open your ears. You got to open the Bible. You got to receive what the Bible says and apply it and examine it every day. Here I am as an adult, and there are some things I've learned. Well, I know what I know, and I know enough to get by, and I know that we've got to get over our arrogant and our selfish pride and say, you know what? I actually don't know what I need to know without knowing what this book says. Got to learn what this book says. What does he mean? Become as little children. Fourth and final trait. I need as a child to have a childlike submission to authority. Children grow up in a realm where children don't. Well, maybe your kids have authority, but children are not to have authority. Children grow up in a realm where they are under the rule of others. Others are deciding for them the rules. Others are telling them what's right and wrong. Others are defining what truth is for them. And the children are to be those who are submitting to that authority. As adults, we grow out of that. Oh, I'm in charge. You know, I'm ruling this house. Wait a minute. What does God want from us? What is Jesus? He wants us to become again like a little child. To call upon Him as Lord, but not just to call upon Him as Lord. Remember what He said in Luke 6:46? Why you call me Lord and not do the things that I say? Call Him as Lord, but then do submit to what He says. As an adult, there's some things I need to unlearn. I've got to unlearn that self-rule, self-governing, I'm in charge of my life. Jesus says, unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Can I ask you again? Do you want to go to heaven? You want to go to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, there's some things we need from children. At least 4 traits, if not more. that we need from children, not just to learn from them, to apply to in our lives from them. By the way, and this isn't really a part of this morning's lesson, but let me drop this here. When Jesus takes a child and sets a child in the midst of them and says, unless you become as this little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Can I ask you, when Jesus put that little child in their midst, did he pull out a little child who was full of sin, who had been born with sin, who had inherited his mom and dad's sin, who had inherited Adam and Eve's sin, and had come into this world completely condemned in the eyes of God? That's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus teaches right here, Matthew chapter 18, children come into this world absolutely pure and innocent in the eyes of God. That's why he says you got to get back there, pure and innocent in the eyes of God. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20 says that the child does not take on the guilt of the parents. If you've heard that doctrine before of total hereditary depravity, it's not in the Bible. You got to become like little children. There's some things we got to learn from kids. But there's a second thing that Jesus says that we've got to be engaged in. Not just what we need from children in order to go to heaven, but in order to go to heaven, there are some things that children need from us. Well, I'm not a parent. Jesus wasn't talking to just parents in Matthew chapter 18. Jesus is talking to all of the disciples. And there are some things that Jesus says that children need. And as you read verses 5 and 6, Jesus says in verse 5, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. However you treat children is the way you treat Jesus. You ever thought about that? That's what Jesus says. You receive one of these little children in my name, that's the way you receive me. The way you treat children, Jesus says, is the way you would treat him. What do children need from you? Look in verse 6, where one of the most graphic statements in all of the Bible is found. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble. Here's a little child brought up to believe there is a God and he is alive. In him we live and we survive. And whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, Jesus says, graphic, it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around that person's neck and he'd be drowned in the depth of the sea. What do children need from us? They need to be received and treated like we would treat Jesus. What do they need from us? They need, verse 6, they need our influence. They need our good done towards them. Now, our influence is seen that we could do something that could cause them to sin. What about my positive influence that can take them down a road to love God and to serve God? Flip verse 6 around, not just to the negative, but put it in the positive. What do children need? There are some things that they need in the home. There are some things that they need from mom and dad in the home. Inside of our homes, children need a priority placed on regular Bible teaching in the home. That's found in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Not just, well, I'm going to take them to church and they'll learn. No, no, no. Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 6 is not about what they learn at church. It's about what they learn in the home. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, teach it to them diligently. Think about that word, diligently. Do we teach our children in our homes diligently? When you walk by the way, when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and you rise up, every part of the day needs to be filled with Scripture. When he talks about the doorpost of the home, and when you go in the house and you come out of the house, they're surrounded by Scripture. Not just visually that you've got something posted on the refrigerator. That's good and do that. But they hear the words from mom and dad's mouths regularly. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Kids love the first part of the verse. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Good statement. But do what? Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition, the training and the discipline of the Lord. What does that involve? Children need priority placed on this book being taught in their home. Do we receive them the way we would receive Jesus? Are we doing everything that we can inside of our homes to draw them closer to our God? What do they need in our homes? They need solid Bible answers to their questions. Kids have questions. Kids of all ages have questions. And as parents, we must never be silent to those questions. We must never guess at an answer to those questions. We need to give them answers, and we need to give them solid Bible answers to those questions. We're living in a day and age where young people who grow up with a faith in God and a faith in Jesus, they get to a point in their lives where they start, and the terminology is they start to deconstruct their faith. And in the deconstruction process, they begin to question all sorts, and that's fine. There's no problem asking questions. The Bible wants us to ask questions. But moms and dads, we've got to give them answers. And when they come with the hard questions, we've got to find the answers to those. We can't, well, I just don't know. Well, that doesn't really matter. No, if they're asking a question, it matters. And we've got to give them an answer. The Apologetics Press website, it's the best website on the face of this earth. Full of Bible teaching. That when you've got a Bible question, you don't know how to answer it, go to apologeticspress.com or .org. Whether it's talking about the existence of God, the inspiration of the Bible, or things regarding the teaching. I mean, and I'm not saying that's the only website to use, but if your kids are asking questions and you're not sure of the answer, don't give them an internet answer. Give them a Bible answer. But we've got to answer their questions. Because if we don't, the world will. Which answer do you want your kids to have? This one or the one that the world is going to give? What do our kids need in our homes? They need to live in a home where the authority of Christ reigns. Well, why are we doing that? Because that's what Jesus wants us to do. Well, why can't I do that? Because this is what Jesus wants us to do. Colossians 3 and verse 17 says, whatever you do in word or in deed, and in your home, I'm putting that in there, in your home, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do kids need in the home? Moms and dads who say, we're going to do what this book says. We're going to do what Jesus. Well, why? They're going to ask, did your kids ever ask the question why? I mean, it's like their favorite question. The authority of Jesus has got to reign there. We do it because that's what Jesus wants us to do. Our kids need to grow up in homes where the church is the number one priority, where the church takes first place. That's where Jesus said to put it in Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek ye not second, not first and a half, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's the church. It's got to be first in our homes, above everything else. The church has got to come before school. I'm going to say it. The church has got to come. Well, you know, we got this at school, we got that at school. The church, did Jesus say, seek ye first the school? Seek ye first the king, seek ye first the church. It's got to come before school. Church has got to come before homework. Got to come before homework. I remember years ago doing youth work and parents telling me, oh, no, they can't come to the devotional tonight. They got to go home and do homework. Why do they have to do homework during the one-hour devotional that we're going to have with the youth group when they could have had all this other time? I'm just asking, are we seeking first the church or what? It's got to come before everything else. It's got to come before parties. It's got to come before all of our extracurricular activities. It's got to come before sports. Either Jesus meant first or He didn't. And if He meant first, it's got to be first. Last thing kids need at home, you know what they need at home? Moms and dads, you know what they need? They need to see moms and dads who are living genuine, comma, see the word after the word genuine on the screen? Living genuine, comma, joyful Christian lives. Not, we got to go to church. Get up, let's go. We got to get, no. Joyful Christian lives. You know Psalm 100. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. That's not even written to parents. It's written to everybody, but that's written to parents. Serve the Lord with gladness. Your children will decide if they want to be a Christian and what kind of Christian they want to be based upon looking at you and how you live as a Christian inside the home. That's what Christians, that's what kids need in the home. But Matthew 18 is not just written to the home. It's written to all of us. And there are some things that kids need in the church. Just as at home, they need clear priorities. They need Bible teaching inside the church. They need the same thing. They need solid Bible teaching inside the church. And they need real, genuine relationships with real, genuine Christians. But don't hear it from me. Hear it from them. Here's what kids need. Christians, are you listening? Members of this congregation, are you listening? Here's what kids need. Bryson, can you come up here, buddy? Come on up, Bryson. Bryson's going to share something with us that every kid in this church needs. Come on up here, buddy. I got a seat with your name. Well, I didn't put your name on it, but it's there, sort of. All right, everybody know Bryson? Bryson, this is everybody. Everybody, this is Bryson, okay? Bryson, can you share with everybody here, what is it that the kids need from people in the church?
They deeply love God and His Word.
Good job, buddy. Kids in this church, Bryson, you went to Bible class this morning, didn't you? Yeah, he always goes to Bible class. Bryson went to Bible class this morning. You know what he had in Bible class this morning? I don't even know who your teacher. I'm not going to ask you who your teacher was, but you know what Bryson had in class? He had a teacher this morning, and you know what I know about that teacher? Is that Bryson had a teacher this morning who deeply loves God. Not just somebody who's going to sit in a seat and fill 45 minutes. That's not what he needs. That's not what she needs, the kids in this church. They need teachers who deeply love God, who are like Ezra in Ezra 7 and verse 10. Ezra determined he was going to study the Bible and do it. Why? Because he loved God. Many of you teach our children. Thank you for doing it. You know what they need? They need what Bryson just told us. They need to walk in those classrooms with teachers who love God and love the Bible. Bryson, thank you for coming up and sharing. You can go back and sit with your mom and dad again. Thanks for helping us, buddy. Elijah, can you come up here, buddy? Elijah's going to come up. Freddie Gadsden's grandson, Lena's son, is going to come up. Elijah, come on up. Elijah's got something else to share with us that every kid in this church, right up here, buddy, you can take Bryson's seat. You can come up here and sit and tell us, what is it the kids in this church need? Elijah went to Bible class this morning too, didn't you? All right, so Bryson went to Bible class. Elijah, you know everybody here? You know all their names out here? No, I don't either. It's okay. It's okay. But this is Elijah, everybody. All right, so Elijah, what is it that everybody in this church needs?
They need mom.
They need teachers? What kind of teachers? More
who
teachers?
Love God.
Yep, they need teachers who love God. They need teachers who are going to help them to love God. Don't just need teachers who love God. They need to instill within you, right, a love for God. So that when Elijah walks out of class this morning, and he'll be here again on Wednesday night, by the way, you'll be here Wednesday night, right, 7 o'clock. Did you drive? Do you drive? Or no, your grandpa Freddie probably drives, right? He's a good driver. So, but when he comes again on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and Elijah's in Bible class again, you know what he needs there? Not just a teacher who loves God, but a teacher who's going to instill that love. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says, you know who you've learned these things from. Who did Paul? Well, Timothy had learned from a lot of people, but no doubt he learned from a lot of teachers like Elijah has, who had instilled a love for God, a love for Jesus, a love for the Bible, even in Timothy, just like they do in Elijah. Elijah, thanks for coming up and helping us today, buddy. Thank you. You can go back to your seat. Nathan, can you come up here, bud? Nathan's got something to share with us. Here's something else that every kid in this church needs. Nathan, you know everybody here this morning? You know all these people? Not really. Some of them? Some of them, yeah. All right, so everybody, this is Nathan. Nathan, this is everybody. All right, they're nice people. All right, they're good folks. See, they're all smiling at you. They smile at you more than they smile at me. So, I mean, maybe you should be up here more often so that they smile. So Nathan, you and I kind of, we're on the same wavelength. That's speaking well of one of us, I think, more of me. So I'm on the same wavelength. So here's what I'm thinking you would say. If you were coming up here and say, here's what kids need. Did you go to Bible class this morning, Nathan?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, of course you did. I mean, why? Well, a silly question, Mr. David. All right, so Nathan goes to Bible class this morning, and he not only has a teacher who loves God, not only has a teacher who's going to instill within him a love for God, but here's what Nathan's thinking. Nathan's thinking that he needs teachers that are going to help him to have a conviction. That's a big word. To help him to have a firm conviction in the words of this book. So that when Nathan and Elijah and Bryson and all of these other kids walk out of Bible class on Sunday and on Wednesday, you know what they need to have? They need to have a conviction that, yeah, this book has the answers. That whatever this book says, yeah, it's for real. It's not just a fairy tale book. It's a real book given to us by God, and it has every answer in it that we would ever need. Did you know that? Did you know this book has every answer in it that we would ever need? Yeah, I mean, you're a smart kid. All right? So, Nathan, thank you for coming up and helping us, bud. You can go back and sit with your mom and your sister. Well, sit with your mom. Don't sit with your sister. Sit with your mom. That'll make this easier. All right, so, Bobby, you're next, right? Bobby, come on up. You're the next, that's the different show. All right, so, Bobby's going to share with us something not just, making me nervous coming behind me, not just what kids need in Bible class. Have a seat. It's got your name on it, bud. Not just what kids need in Bible class. What else do kids need in the church? By the way, do you know everybody here?
Nope.
Okay. Well, everybody, this is Bobby. Bobby, this is everybody. All right, so Bobby, what is it that every kid in this church needs?
They need Christians who show genuine personal care for them.
Good answer. They need Christians who show genuine personal care. What does that mean? They need all these old people to care about them. And not just care about them, to show it, right? I mean, do you need to know that these people love you? That they care about you? Would that be nice? That'd be good? Just say yes. I mean, it's going to make me look good. Yeah, all right, so good. So they need Christians to take an interest in them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 of that passage, Paul says, you know what? We came there, we preached the gospel. Well, of course you preached the gospel. That's your job, Paul. No. We didn't just preach the gospel. We invested ourselves in you. We gave ourselves for you. You know what kids need? Not just teachers. They've got those in the classroom. They need everybody else to pour themselves into them, to show that they care. Do we do that? Do we do that for Bobby? Mm-hmm. We better, right? Yes. All right, Bobby. Thanks for coming up and helping, bud. You did a great job. Thanks for helping with the sermon. You going back behind me again? All right, back to your seat. Everybody watch Bobby. Make sure he gets back to his seat. All right. Sebastian, where are you, buddy? Sebastian, come on up. Sebastian is looking sharp. Sebastian's going to share with us not just something that is needed in classrooms, but something that every kid here needs from every Christian. All right, so Sebastian, let us know. What do we need?
They need Christians who live out their imperfect faith in front of them.
Ah. All right, so Christians who are just real, right? Not fake. Not just acting like we've got it all together, because who in here has it all together? Anybody? Raise your hand if you've got it all together. Bobby's raising his hand, but he's the only one in here who's raising his hand. Everybody else in here, we don't have it all together. You know what kids need? They need to know it's okay not to have it all together. They need us to live out our faith in front of them, but it can be imperfect. We don't have to be perfect in front of them. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, what are we supposed to do? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. They need to see us living as Christians. Sebastian, thanks for coming and helping us this morning. All right, Levi, where are you, bud? We got two more. We got Levi and then one more who are going to share with us that from their own mouths, Here's what kids are telling the rest of us that they need from us in order to go to heaven. So, Levi, what do kids need?
They need Christians who will build meaningful personal connections with them.
So not just take an interest in them. Build meaningful. Let that word sink in. Not just personal connections, meaningful connections with them. Titus chapter 2 talks about the older men and the younger men, the older women and the younger women. That's what was read for us at the beginning of our worship this morning in Psalm 145, that one generation will praise your works to another. What does that mean? Every generation in the church needs the other generation, but especially this generation right here needs the rest of us to build meaningful connections with them. We've said it in this congregation before, but there was a study done several years ago. It says in order for this young man and these young ladies' faith to stick, it was a study called Sticky Faith, in order for their faith to stick with them for the rest of their lives, they need 7 meaningful personal connections in the church outside of their age group. Do you know everybody here, by the way? Sorry, you're pretty good. And by the way, this is Levi, everybody. All right, they need real meaningful. All right, thanks for helping us. Appreciate it, Levi. Good job. Last one. Lucas, come on up, bud. Lucas is going to share one more thing that every kid in this church needs from every other Christian here. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus says, if we don't need to be those who would be somebody who would cause them to sin. So what's the opposite of that? We need to cause them to live. Cause them to live for God. Receive them as we would receive Jesus. So Lucas, final thing we're going to put on the screen today, which is what everybody wants to hear when I say that final thing, right? That's what everybody's listening. So you get to share the final thing, final point this morning. What is it that every kid here in this church needs from every Christian?
They need Christians who involve them in the work of the church and who have a real sense of belonging here right now.
Do we do that? Well, they're not old enough, but when they're older, we'll get... No. They need to feel like they're a part of this church now. If they're continually told, well, when you get older, well, guess what? When they get older, they're not going to be interested anymore. But if they feel like they're a part of this family, they really are, that they belong in this family, then they're going to want to be in this family. Lucas, by the way, do you know everybody here?
No.
No. Everybody, this is Lucas. Lucas. Everybody. All right. Thanks, buddy. You can go sit down. You get the point? When Jesus wanted to teach his disciples about what does it take to be great in the kingdom of heaven, and you're like, you know what? I'd just like to go to heaven, whether I'm great or not. That's the point. Jesus says, you want to go to heaven? Here's some object lessons you need to learn. And the object lesson is you need things from children. You need to become like little children. And then there are things that children need from you. And when both of those are working together, then we're ready for heaven. Can you imagine sitting there when Jesus took a child, sat a child in their midst to teach you? You want to go to heaven today? Are you going to heaven today? There's only one way to know that for sure. And that's to have followed exactly what the Bible teaches us to do. I wish we could have spent more time talking about what kids need. I wish we could have doubled that list and brought up more kids on this stage to tell you what they need. But I hope you'll really take these things to heart. Not just see them as a list, but see them as an assignment, as a challenge. I need to do this, not just for the kids. I need to do this for me so that I can do what God wants me to go to heaven. The Bible says in order to go to heaven, you've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That faith in your heart, making up your mind, I need to repent of my sins. I've got to stop doing what's wrong. I've got to start doing what's right. My sins put Jesus on the cross. Why do I still want them? I've got to get away from them. And when I turn away from them, I can confess my faith in Jesus. And I can do something, not because some preacher told me, not because some church told me, not because anybody told me, but because Jesus told me. Here's what I need to do in order to be saved. Mark 16:16, Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized, that person shall be saved." I'm not saved when I believe. I've got to believe, but I'm not saved yet. I'm not saved when I repent or confess my faith. I'm saved when I do all of those, and then I'm baptized, and I'm raised out of the waters of baptism as a child of God, free from my sins, having been added to His church, having my name registered in heaven. If you have never done that, why don't you do it today? Don't be almost persuaded. Don't be almost persuaded. Be altogether persuaded. You're going to become a Christian today. And then from this day forward, to follow the Lord faithfully. So that one day you can hear those words from Matthew 25, verse 23, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If you're not where you need to be with Jesus, come right now as together we stand and sing.